Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glories to the moons who are devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. Please purport. In this verse, we find the moon described as Chandragan, which is plural in number. This indicates that there are many moons. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 21, the Lord says, Nakshatranam aham shashi. Among the stars, I am the moon. All stars are like the moon. Western astronomers consider the stars to be suns, but Vedic astronomers, following the Vedic scriptures, consider them moons. The sun has the ability to shine powerfully, and the moons reflect the sunshine and therefore look brilliant. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is described to be like the sun. The supreme powerful is the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his devotees are also bright and illuminating because they reflect the supreme sun. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya, Leela, chapter 22, text 31 states, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andakara Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayara Adhikara. Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or nescience. Similarly, the present verse also describes that by the illumination of all the moons, brightened by the reflection of the Krishna sun, or by the grace of all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the entire world will be illuminated, despite the darkness of Kali Yuga. Only the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, the ignorance of the population of this age. No one else can do so. Now, this is an important point. Listen very carefully. We therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement may reflect the supreme sun and thus dissipate the darkness over the entire world. Om Gyana Timadandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yutta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishankam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyas Cha Kripa Sindubhyeva Cha Patita Nam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda and everyone very loudly Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Shri Chaitanya Chandrera Bhakta Chandragan, Sabara Prema Jyotsnaya Ujwala Tribhuvan. All glories to the moons who are devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. Now, this chapter 13 describes the advent of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whenever the Lord appears, does he come just like he's coming on holiday, like it's the summer now, so we just, you know, we want to get a little break. We go on holiday for 2 weeks in the sun, or perhaps not, we've got enough sun here. I got burnt to a crisp the other day. Or does the Lord come for a particular purpose? Of course, he comes with a mission, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chituskritam, dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. So the Lord appears with a particular mission. So this chapter that we're studying now describes the appearance of the Lord. And this verse and this purport actually describes the very essence of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. When Nandan Prabhu texted me this verse and asked if I could speak on this verse, I read the verse. Usually I like to read a little bit, and first thing I do is I read the verse and the purport, and I have a little brainstorm, and I try and think of anything that I can think of that's related to the verse, some other verses that I've read or heard, or some lecture I've heard or a book I've read. So immediately when I read this verse, I was reminded of a book, dun, 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 by His Holiness Giriraj Swami, which is entitled Many Moons. Now, interestingly, I've never read this book, but what had happened was my father-in-law, Ramai Das, he had just come back from Mauritius. He'd been to visit some family, and he'd brought this book back. So I was there when he was unloading his suitcase, and I saw this book, and I said, "Oh, that looks very nice." And he said, "Yeah, some devotee just gave it to me. One of his friends gave him this book." So I read this and I said, "Ramai Prabhu, can I borrow this book? It looks like it might be helpful for this class." And he said, "Yeah." So I borrowed the book and I started reading the introduction, and I was amazed to find out that actually this whole book, the title, the concept, is based upon this verse and purport and Srila Prabhupada's elaboration. So I thought, isn't that amazing? I've never read this book before. I've seen it, but it just came into my life at exactly the right time. And some people say there's no God. It's just a coincidence. These things happen. But I was amazed. I thought that really increased my faith that actually Krishna's taking care of everything. Krishna's making so many arrangements and we're just not aware of it. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, "I am behind everything, just as pearls are strong upon a thread." You know, if you have some beautiful pearls, they look very beautiful, but what's keeping it all together is the thread. But you don't see the thread. No one, you know, when you see a lady in a nice pearl necklace or the deities, then you say, "Oh, what a beautiful pearl necklace." But you never say, "Ah, such a nice thread that's holding it all together." No one thinks like that. So in the same way, we see so many beautiful things in this world. Srila Prabhupada said that England is beautiful when the sun shines. The last few days we've been having some beautiful sunshine. But who stops to think what's going on behind it all? Who's behind everything? Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. So Krishna's behind everything. So I thought, this is amazing. That Krishna's just making so many arrangements. If we can just have faith that Krishna's doing everything and we just simply have to try and be an instrument in his will, in his mission. And yesterday on the way to Harrow, we were driving behind a bus. And quite often buses have an advertisement on the back or an advertisement. So this advertisement was actually for Bucks University, a new university. And then on the back it said, "Recipe for success." And then it said, "Just add you." In other words, you know, this university is amazing. Everything's there that you need. You just have to add yourself, and then that's the recipe for success. And I thought, yeah, that's like Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a recipe for success. Everything is all auspicious. Krishna consciousness is perfect. We have here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, we have the beautiful deities, we have wonderful association of Vaishnavas, so many senior Vaishnavas coming here all the time, we have devotional service, we have the holy name, we have prasadam. Where would we be without prasadam? Probably not in the Hare Krishna movement, somewhere else. But actually, we just have to just add me, because everything's here. But the problem a lot of the time is that we're not here. We're chanting Hare Krishna in Japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But Krishna's there. The holy name's there. Everything's there. Everyone's there. But we're not there. We're somewhere else around the universe, you know, traveling astral, on the astral plane, thinking of something else. So Krishna consciousness is a recipe for success. We just have to add ourselves. Then everything will come. So how is it that this verse and this purport describes the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. You may wonder what I will tell you. There's a nice verse given by Chanakya Pandit that Srila Prabhupada would often quote. Chanakya Pandit, he wasn't a devotee. He was a politician, Prabhupada said, a moralist, but many of his shlokas are used. Srila Prabhupada would often quote Chanakya Pandit's slokas because they illustrate certain points. Sometimes like analogies, they help us to understand something. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, like if you have a dictionary, if you read what is the dictionary definition of a horse, you may have never seen, is there anyone here who's never seen a horse? Put your hands up, who's never seen a horse? Okay, we've all seen a horse. But if you hadn't, then you would read, you know, dictionary definition of a horse, it's a four-legged animal, it's got a long neck, a mane, it's very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada one time said, what is the most beautiful animal? And then the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, a cow is the most beautiful animal. And Prabhupada said, no, a cow is not, a horse is the most beautiful animal. Sometimes you see these big shire horses that the police ride on, and they've got such silky, smooth, whatever you call it, fur. And they're really muscly and they look very majestic. So Srila Prabhupada said, the most beautiful animal is a horse. So you read the description and, you know, it gives you some idea of what a horse is like. So analogies sometimes are used in Krishna consciousness because, you know, they describe the spiritual world, an analogy is given, some description is given. We may not be able to understand it exactly, but it gives us some idea. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he would quote Chanakya Pandit. So there's one nice verse. Akopi gunavan putro ne gunena shatena kim. Ekas chandras tamohanti na cha tara sahasrasha. It is better to have one qualified son than 100 foolish ones. Innumerable stars cannot dissipate the darkness, but one moon can illuminate the night. So one time when Srila Prabhupada was in Australia, a reporter challenged him. Sometimes the reporters, they would challenge Srila Prabhupada. So they said, why is it that such a small percentage of the population accepts this philosophy? In other words, if your Krishna consciousness movement is, why is it so great? You know, why is no one joining your movement? He was snubbing like this. But Srila Prabhupada, ever quick to reply, Srila Prabhupada was so sharp. He said, according to percentage, the moon is nothing. There are so many stars. Oh, firstly, he quoted this verse. Then he said, according to percentage, the moon is nothing. There are so many stars in the sky. And by percentage, the moon is nothing. But the moon is more important than all the nonsense stars. Nonsense stars. Because he is the moon, he is more important. What is the use of taking percentage of the stars in the presence of the moon? Let there be one moon, that is sufficient. One ideal man, just like in the Christian world, one ideal Lord Jesus Christ. If I create one moon, that is sufficient. I don't want many stars. That was my Guru Maharaj's principle, and that is my principle. What is the use of having numbers of fools and rascals? If one man understands rightly, he can deliver the whole world. Srila Prabhupada ki. So this was Srila Prabhupada's mission, to create one moon. He doesn't want any number of nonsense stars, because one moon can illuminate the entire sky. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, he set up this Krishna consciousness movement. He established 108 temples in 12 years all around the world, created thousands of followers, established farm communities, restaurants. He gave everything in his books. He gave the law books for mankind for the next 10,000 years. He helped to inaugurate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's golden period of 10,000 years. He spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. Now we're celebrating the 50th year of ISKCON. Like we said, David Cameron was here yesterday. So many wonderful things are going on. But Srila Prabhupada, in propagating Krishna consciousness all around the world, that entire effort was just to create one moon. Srila Prabhupada wanted one devotee who could be trained, who would understand Krishna consciousness, the science of Krishna consciousness, and he would propagate it. and he would dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, dissipate the darkness within everyone's hearts. This was Srila Prabhupada's mission. Now we're just going to read another quote from Many Moons. Again, this was Srila Prabhupada in another place. That first one was Srila Prabhupada in Australia. Now this is Srila Prabhupada in New York. Again, referring to this verse, he says, "We don't want numerical strength. We want one sincere person who has learned to love God. Krishna, that's all. I have come to your country with this mission. And if I find one or two boys or girls have sincerely learned how to love God Krishna, then my mission is successful. I'm not after any number of. Because if I can turn one soul to Krishna consciousness, he'll do tremendous work. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Sri Sri Gauranitai ki." He says, "Because if I can turn one soul to Krishna consciousness, he can do tremendous work." And he quotes this verse. "Ikash Chandras Tamohanti Nacha Tara Sahasrasha." One moon is complete to drive away the darkness of night. Not millions of stars are required. What these millions of stars can do, one moon is sufficient. But then Srila Prabhupada went on to expand. He was looking for one moon, but then he said, "So our propaganda is to create one moon, you see? But fortunately, by Krishna's grace, many moon-like boys and girls have come to see me. You see, many moons." And then it says he chuckles. "I was thinking of having only one moon. But Krishna, I am hopeful that there are many moons. And in the future, they'll be doing very nice. This is para upakar. To spread this Krishna consciousness movement is the best service to the humanity. Please try to understand this. It is not a bluffing thing. To love God, Prema Pumata Mahan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the highest achievement in the human form of life is to attain the perfectional stage to love God. That is the highest." So Srila Prabhupada was looking for one moon, but he said, "But Krishna has sent many moon-like boys and girls." So now what is the qualification of a moon-like devotee? Who would like to be a moon? Put your hands up. Who thinks they are a moon already? Good, you're all very humble. It's the true ornament of a Vaishnava, humility. But maybe in your heart you're thinking, of course I'm a moon. Can't you see me shining? Sometimes we're a bit like that, and we put on a show of humility, but in, you know, "Prabhu, that was such a nice kirtan you led, or such a nice class, or such a wonderful feast," and you say, "Oh, it is all Gurudev's mercy." But inside we're thinking, yes, of course it was a nice class, you know. This is me you're speaking about. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to become moons. So what is the qualification of a moon-like devotee? Now one time Srila Prabhupada, he was asked by his devotees, by his disciples. And I'll put this into context. It was during the height of kind of the mid-1970s, during the book distribution frenzy. 1975, 1976, the devotee, Prabhupada was just stressing, "Distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. If you want to please me, distribute my books. If you distribute books, you will get Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's blessings a million times over. If you want to please me, distribute my books. Translate them into every language of the world and distribute them profusely. Every language. Like this. Double it." That's another one. "Double it. Double it." So Srila Prabhupada was really stressing, and he was drumming up this book distribution fever. And all the devotees were fired up. And, you know, so then they asked Srila Prabhupada. There were so many book distributors in the room. They said, "Srila Prabhupada, what is the most pleasing thing to you? How can we please you most?" And it was a kind of a hooked question. Sometimes we ask a question, but we know what's coming, we're expecting something. And it was kind of, there was a little pride there from the book distributors that they wanted Srila Prabhupada to say, "If you want to please me the most, distribute my books. Jai! Srila Prabhupada ki, book distribution ki, jai, nectar, bliss, Hari Bol." So they said, "Srila Prabhupada, how can we please you the most?" And Srila Prabhupada, he paused for a moment. Srila Prabhupada was so expert. They were all waiting on the edge of their seats, like a cliffhanger. What's going to happen? And Srila Prabhupada says, if you love Krishna. Such a simple answer, but so profound. If you love Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada actually alluded to that at the end of that quote we said. He said that this is the highest, prema pumata mahan, to develop or to reawaken our love for God. Because if we have love for God, that single qualification, all other qualities, all other qualifications are subordinate to the one principle of loving Krishna. There are 26 different qualities that a devotee can possess in the perfect state. But every single one of those qualities will manifest when we just try to love Krishna. Sometimes we see devotees and we just see the faults, like the stool fly. there can be a field of flowers, beautiful flowers, but the fly, he will fly over the whole field of flowers and he'll just find some stool. And he'll land on that stool and he'll relish it. But a honeybee, he can fly over a field of stool. I'm not sure if there is such a thing. Have you ever seen that? A field of stool? He will fly over a field of stool, but there'll be one flower. And this honeybee, he will, here is the nectar. So sometimes in the association of devotees, we can see this devotee is not doing this properly. He hasn't got very good qualities. But we should just try and see one thing. Are they trying to love Krishna? Are they surrendering to Krishna? Because if they are, in due course of time, all other qualities will come. So this is the qualification of a moon-like devotee. And Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us all to become moons. Now, what does that mean? We're going to analyze it theoretically. What does the moon do? And then practically, what does that mean for us? Now, Srila Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that we read. He said that the original light is coming from the sun. The whole universe is sustained by the light of the sun. And here in England, also, we're sustained by the sun. You don't often realize it because we don't get much. Like they say, you wait all day for a bus and then three come along at once. So we wait all year for a good day and then you get like three really like... I got completely sunburned. I was at a music festival distributing books and my shoulder is just like red raw because the sun came down. But actually, we're sustained by the sun. So all light in this universe is coming from the sun. The moon is simply reflecting the light of the sun. Srila Prabhupada makes the point that Western astronomers, they think that the stars are like suns. But there isn't. There's only one sun in this universe. But those stars are reflecting the light of the sun, just like the moon. The moon, Srila Prabhupada said, is cold and dark, but it is reflecting the light of the sun. So therefore, because the moon is reflecting the light of the sun, therefore the moon looks brilliant. Isn't it? When we come out on a beautiful full moon evening, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing the beautiful cooling rays of the moon, the beautiful golden, like on Gaura Panim, we see that beautiful full moon and it's casting its soothing rays across the land. It's very beautiful. But it's beautiful because it's reflecting the light of the sun. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is also sometimes he's described as the sun. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that he is Krishna. Krishna is the sun, and we're reflecting the light. But sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referred to as the sun because he is Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna Nahi Anya. But sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referred to as the moon because he's a devotee. He's appeared as a devotee. If the devotees would say to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are Krishna, he would cover his hands over his ears and he would chant, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. What nonsense are you speaking? I am a devotee. Gopi Bhatu Parukamalaya Dasu Dasana Das. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the milkmaids of Raj. He was in that mood of being a devotee. And interestingly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, which is described in this chapter that we're reading, He appeared on a lunar eclipse. And of course, because of the lunar eclipse, then everyone was taking their bath in the holy rivers, the Ganges, and they were all chanting at the tops of their voices, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because this was signaling the Lord's appearance, why he appeared, to propagate the chanting of the Lord's holy names, by which we spread the light and dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. But of course, there was a lunar eclipse, which is inauspicious, so that's why they were all chanting. But it's described that the moon, actually, he hid out of shame. The silver moon, which is considered so beautiful, he considered that in relation to the golden moon, then actually he wasn't very beautiful at all. So the moon, he ran away out of shame and out of embarrassment and he hid. Because what is silver compared to gold? If we ask the ladies, you know, if you'd like some jewelry, what would you like? Would you like gold or would you like silver? What would you like? They're not saying, but I'm sure it's gold. We want the best, nothing but the best. So therefore, the silver moon hid out of embarrassment for the golden moon, Chaitanya Chandra. So now, how to become a moon? Because we've discussed that Prabhupada wanted one moon. He got many moons. We've just discussed a little bit about what are the qualities of a moon, what does the moon do. So who would like to become a moon? We asked that already as well. But now I'm going to tell you how to become a moon. Well, Srila Prabhupada said that by serving the great, one becomes great. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a nice verse, sadhu sangha, sava shastrikoi, lava matra, sadhu sangi, sava siddhi hoi. That by one moment's association with a pure devotee, one can achieve all success. So in other words, by associating with Srila Prabhupada, and by associating with Srila Prabhupada's devotees, by associating with moon-like devotees, then we too become moons. We develop the qualities of those who we serve. One time I was a class here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and His Holiness, actually I'm not sure if it was Kadambakananda Swami or Bhakti Vigyan Goswami, was giving a class, and they gave a very nice example. They said that if you glorify a devotee and you praise that devotee and you serve that devotee, like if we see good qualities in devotees, sometimes we think, I would like to be like that. Like myself, I'm very much inspired by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, and I think, I would like to be like him. He's my hero. We all need heroes in Krishna consciousness. And I think, yeah, I'd like to be just like Vaisheshika Prabhu. He's so, you know, he's a great preacher. He knows Prabhupada's books inside out. He's been distributing books for 40 years. And he's engaging so many other people in preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness. And if you ever meet him, he's such a positive person. He's always encouraging everyone. And just when I see him, I think, oh, it's pleasing to the heart. So when we see good qualities in devotees, if we serve those devotees and we praise those devotees, he said that it forms a bridge between that devotee and ourselves, and that devotee's good qualities, they start walking towards us. And then we inherit that devotee's good qualities by serving them and by praising them. But they don't lose their qualities. It's not like you steal their qualities. Hey, give me back my good qualities. In the Bhagavatam, it's described that the sadhus, the sages, they take the boat over the ocean of material nescience. But it says, but don't worry, because the boat's still there. You may think, well, that's all very well. They've taken the boat to the other side of the ocean, and here I am stuck in the material world. But it's described that as soon as you just approach the boat, then you cross over the ocean of nescience, just like you can easily cross over the water contained within the hoof print of a calf, just by approaching the boat. So the devotees, they don't lose their qualities, but you inherit them by serving them. But this is the part we have to be careful. If you criticize devotees, If you blaspheme devotees for their bad qualities, oh, look at him, he's always spacing out in japa. He's always falling asleep, you know, look at him, he's so puffed up and so proud, and he eats too much. Prabhupada said we should control our tongue, and you know what it's like sometimes in the association of devotees, you look around and you sum yourself up and you think, yeah, I'm better than him, I'm better than her. Maybe it's just me. But like that, we can become a little bit critical sometimes. So if you criticize the devotees, then again, a bridge will be formed and those bad qualities will start to come towards you and you will inherit the bad qualities. But by serving those devotees, then we also attain their qualities. And we see that even practically. Many of Srila Prabhupada's dear disciples, that by serving Srila Prabhupada, they've inherited Srila Prabhupada's qualities. I always think whenever I meet disciples of His Holiness Radhanath Swami, they're always super sweet, super humble. Radhanath Swami, he's always preaching Trinada Pisa Nichana Tarora Pisa Hishnana Manina Manidina Kitanya Sadahari. We should be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. He's just always encouraging, being humble, rendering service, having this mood of service. And whenever you meet his disciples, they always have this wonderful mood of service because they're serving him, so they're inheriting his qualities. And similarly, if you meet disciples of, for instance, His Holiness Jnananda Goswami, Jnananda Goswami, he's really into kirtan and harinam. He just loves to go out and chant. And then you meet his disciples. They also love harinam, like you have this party of brahmacharis, the Nam Ruchi party. Who's seen the Nam Ruchi party before? And then you see on Facebook, sometimes they're in like Istanbul having like harinam, or they're in Outer Mongolia. They're just in like these, like, how on earth did they end up there? And they're just there, Hare Krishna. They're all really blissful. Everyone's joining in. So Vishnujan Prabhu, who's one of the main devotees in that party, he's a disciple of Jnananda Goswami. He just loves harinam because they're inheriting the qualities. We develop the qualities of those who we serve. And it's an important point to remember that actually by serving someone who's great, it's not that we're great. And Srila Prabhupada, he was also a great example in this. He was always very humble. Whenever someone would glorify Srila Prabhupada, what would he say? What would Srila Prabhupada say? Someone let me know when Prabhu. It is the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. He said, if I have done anything, all I have tried to do is follow his order. I have not done anything special. My Guru Maharaj is special. And there's a nice letter here. I'm just going to read from it. Srila Prabhupada said, one devotee had written to Srila Prabhupada praising him. Srila Prabhupada writes to this disciple, you have written so many nice things in praise of me, but I think my Guru Maharaj is great. I am not great. He is great. Sometimes by the association of the great, one appears great. Just like the sun is great heat and light. And by reflecting the greatness of the sun's light, the moon in the dead of night also appears great. But actually, the moon is by nature dark and cold. But in association with the sun, it has become accepted as great. That is the real position. So I thank you very much that you are appreciating my Guru Maharaj, who wanted to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. He is so great. And that is Srila Prabhupada's greatness, that he never took any credit for himself. Like I said, sometimes someone praises us and externally we may be giving, I mean, forgive me, I'm sure you're all very humble Vaishnavas, but myself, you know, I'm not very humble. I'm very puffed up and very proud and full of false ego, and I think I'm great. And therefore, I'm a long way away from Krishna. But this is the true ornament, that we have to remember that the moon is simply reflecting. It's not self-illuminating. So another quality is that when it's just reflecting, we're going to speak a little bit now just about how this practically applies to us, how we can become moons. That's what we're discussing. So the quality of the moon is that it's simply reflecting what is coming. It doesn't add. So in Krishna consciousness also, we shouldn't add anything. Like Srila Prabhupada, he would often say, I am simply repeating the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, Prabhupada would sometimes criticize, he'd say, you are all fools and rascals, mudas. And then the devotees, the people would, he said, I am not saying, Krishna is saying, avajanantimam bhuta If you do not surrender to me, you are a fool and rascal. Prabhupada would say like, he said, yes, I can preach like this, he said, because I am an old man. He said, you shouldn't say like this. Like David Cameron yesterday, you didn't say, you are a fool. You are a fool. You are not surrendering to Krishna. Actually, he is. He's done service. He's, you know, he's come here. He's done such great services, chanted the holy names. But like that, we don't go up to someone in the streets, try and sell them a book. You are a fool. Krishna says you are a fool because you are not surrendering to, you're a rascal. No, we don't say like that. But Srila Prabhupada would say, I am not, I'm simply saying what Krishna, repeating what Krishna has said. So this is one quality, it reflects. So another quality of understanding is that because we're not self-illuminating, actually we've become empowered. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravatan. That actually one cannot spread this Sankirtan movement unless one has become empowered by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we're distributing a book, we're distributing some prasadam, we're preaching to someone, we should understand. It is not, what did we know about Krishna some few short years ago or whatever it is? We didn't know anything. But we've become empowered by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of the parampara Srila Prabhupada. And now we can preach. Because if we forget that we've become empowered, puna mushtaka bhav, again become a mouse. Everyone knows that story? We'll just tell it briefly. So once there was one mouse in one village, and this mouse was being chased everywhere by the cat. And this mouse, he was in so much anxiety. Every time he would turn the corner, the mouse was there. And he would chase after him. So this mouse, he approached one yogi. And the yogis, of course, Vijayavanaya Sampani, Brahmi, Gavini, Hastani, Shuni Chaiva, Supakija, Pandita, Samidashana, a learned man, he sees every living entity with equal vision. So he said, my dear mouse, what's wrong with you? Look, you're in so much anxiety. And he said, oh, Swamiji, this cat is chasing me everywhere throughout the village. I don't know what to do. If only I could become a cat, and then he wouldn't chase me. So then the sadhu said, Tadashtu, you become a cat. So then he became a cat, and he was a bigger cat than the other cat. So he kind of, you know, snarled at him. Cats can be quite vicious, and this cat ran off, and then he was thinking, yes, I'm top cat now. So now, then, some dog came into town. Started chasing this dog around. So again, he approached the yogi. Oh, Swamiji, now this dog is chasing me. If only I could become a big dog. So he said, so be it. And he became a big dog, a big Doberman pincher, a Rottweiler. And he chased off this little dog. And he was walking around proud. But then a tiger came into town. Can you imagine? Tiger comes into town. Sometimes an animal escapes from the zoo. Tiger. But in India, of course, there was tigers, you know, so the Bengali tiger. So he approached he said, this tiger is chasing me. I'm a dog. He's just, you know, he's going to eat me up. He said, if only I could become a lion and chase away this tiger. So he said, so be it. You become a lion. So then he became a lion. And he chased away the tiger, but then he looked at the yogi and he started to lick his lips. You look like a very tasty meal. Mahaprasadi Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnavi, started licking his lips. And then the yogi, he said, you rascal, you're a fool, muta. He said, puna mushtaka bhav, again become a mouse. And he turned into a little mouse, squeeze, squeeze, and he went away like this. So like that, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we're just a little mouse. We don't know anything, you know, but after some weeks of reading the Bhagavad Gita, you know, we turn in, you know, some years, you know, chanting, and we become empowered. We become a cat, you know, and then we think, yeah, I'm a cat. You know, we're looking at the other mice, you know, the new devotees. Yeah, I was a mouse once, now I'm a cat. And then we turn into a dog and, you know, we start to become a little bit puffed up and we turn into a tiger. Then we turn into a lion. And actually, by the process of Krishna consciousness, we can become a lion. We can become empowered. But we should never forget how we became a lion. Otherwise, Puna Mushtika Bhav. Again, you become a mouse. You fall down. Pride cometh before a fall, it says in the Bhagavad Gita. So we should be humble like Srila Prabhupada and realize, no, if I've done anything great, it is simply because I'm reflecting the light of the moon. Now, what is the main quality of the moon? The main quality, actually, a couple of weeks ago, we had a nice lecture. I was at a retreat in Karuna Bhavan in Scotland, the North Retreat, and there was Bhakti Prabhav Swami. He was giving a very nice seminar on the 24 gurus in the 11th canto. It's described that one Brahmani had 24 gurus, and one of his gurus was the moon. So then Bhakti Prabhav Swami, he was asking the audience, what can we learn from the moon? Actually, if we had a bit more time, I might have opened it up, but time is running out. So we all said different things. And but one of the qualities of the moon is that it's illuminating on a dark night. We don't really appreciate it because we live in the city, we live in the towns where there's so much artificial light. But if you lived in the middle of the countryside where there's no artificial light, when there's no moon in the sky, it's completely pitch black. You can't see anything. But when the full moon comes out, it illuminates the path. You can see where you're going. At Karuna Bhavan, where I used to stay, it's a bit like that. When you're walking up, there's not many lights, so we have to walk up this massive hill to get to Mangalarti, sometimes in the snow. It's austere, actually. One time I walked up to the Mangalarti, it was snowing, and for some stupid reason, I had on my flip-flops, you know? Like, you know, when you're a devotee, you're a bit fanatical sometimes. I got to the top of the, and my feet were like frozen. I had to run up and down for a few minutes. But when the moon was out, you could actually see where you're going. So therefore, as devotees, we can become a moon by spreading this light, by illuminating the entire world by the process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, he said one time that historians will note how this International Society for Krishna Consciousness has saved the world in her darkest hour. Srila Prabhupada said it will go down in history that ISKCON has saved the world during her darkest hour. So what is the darkest hour? That's midnight, right? Like that's pitch black, the dead of night. It's completely dark. But then before the sun arises, it already starts to get light, doesn't it? Right? Before the sun even comes up, it starts to get light, as it's starting to appear over the horizon. So therefore, this Sankirtan movement, due to the presence of the Sankirtan movement, we're only 500 years into a 10,000-year golden period. But already, there's so much light spreading from the Sankirtan movement. Usually, at this time in Kali Yuga, things have advanced much more. But Srila Prabhupada said that the Sankirtan movement is holding back the tide of Kali Yuga. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodato Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chitro Sando Tamonado. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So we have to also spread this light, spread this benediction. Srila Prabhupada says that the last part of the purport in this verse that we read, he says, we therefore wish that all members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness reflect the Supreme Sun and thus dissipate the darkness of the entire world. In other words, we have to spread Krishna consciousness. Krishna Surya Sama Haya Maya Andhakara Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayara Adhikara, that said that Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is the sun, there can be no darkness. Wherever there is Krishna, there is no Maya. So therefore, we have to spread Krishna in the form of three potent forms. Just like Maya, she has her trident, misery, you know, Adi Atmaka Klesha, Adi Bhautika Klesha, Adi Daivaka Klesha. She's inflicting pain on the living entities with her three-pronged trident. Misery is coming from the body and mind. Like right now, some of you are thinking, God, when's it breakfast? This class has been going on for ages. You know, give it a break and let's have breakfast. You know, that's a misery coming from another living entity. Or that's maybe your body and mind, actually. Or misery is coming from other living entities. That's me. He's speaking too long. Or misery is coming from natural phenomena. The demigods, like the sun, I got completely burnt. I'm in so much pain with this sunburnt shoulder. Just one shoulder, red raw. So she's inflicting pain with the trident. But we also have the trident, which we can counteract the threefold miseries, which is by distributing the holy name, by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and by distributing prasadam. And all of these things, they're non-different from Krishna. Actually, if we had a bit more time, I had a couple of stories to tell how they're non-different. But as usual, I've run out of time. I don't know, it's 9:15. Do I need to try and bring it to a close now? I'll just tell one story, which is a nice story, just to show the power of prasadam. Bhaktivedanta Goswami, he told that in the early days of the Russian yatra, you know, they weren't so expert in cooking, but they knew that prasadam meant it had to be spicy. Prasadam means it's spicy. So the only spices they had in the early days of the Russian yatra was chilies. So he said they would put chilies in everything. Chili rice, chili sabji, chili pakoras, chili puris, chili sweet rice, chili halava, chili laddus. Chili went in everything, because then it's prasadam, it's spicy. This is true. Bhaktivedanta Goswami told. So he said one day some bum, the devotees found some bum, some kind of tramp on the streets, some kind of drug addict, drunk, alcohol. And they kind of pulled him in, you know, as devotees do. Come! It's the Sunday feast, you know, and they pulled him in, and this guy, he was sitting there, he couldn't really get into the lecture, he didn't know what he was talking about, and eventually it was coming for prasadam time, and this guy thought, I'm just leaving. But then the devotees, they said, no, you must take prasadam. It is our custom. You know, like when you're really zealous in the early days, you must take prasadam, sit down here. And he's like, no, I'm just going to go. No, you must take prasadam. So he sat down. They're serving out the prasadam, you know. And if as devotees, we get used to seeing like a load of khichdi or something, and we think, yeah, that looks good. But, you know, someone else sees like a plate of khichdi, they think it looks like something that's, you've already eaten and it's come out again, you know. You expect me to eat that? That looks like someone ate that last night and you've just, you know. So all these preparations are coming out, you know. And one of the preparations on the plate, it was chili halava. Chili, can you imagine? Chili halava. But it wasn't just chili halava, it was burnt chili halava. Can you imagine? I mean, that's that, you're laughing, but that's what's for breakfast this morning, burnt chili halava. So he's looking at it, you know. But because the devotees had offered it with love and devotion, they'd done the best they could. Krishna, he is a bhava grahi janardana. He accepts the mood of devotion, not necessarily the offering. Doesn't mean that we should make burnt chili halva. It means that we try our best. Krishna accepts that. So he took a little teaspoon of this burnt chili halva. Ugh, disgusting, what is that? Yeah. And he left the temple, you know. I'm never going back there, those guys are crazy. You know? So over the next week, his friends rang him up. We're all going down the pub, do you want to go? Not interested, you know. We're going on a drugs binge, and then we're going to go to a strip club, and then we're going to the brothel, and then we're going to the casino, and then we're going to eat loads of meat. Anyway, you get the idea, you know, it wasn't wholesome activities, you know, oh, not interested, not in the mood, you know. And then after a couple of weeks, he started thinking, what's going on? What's happened to me? And he thought, those Hare Krishnas, they have done something to me. They put something in the food. So he knocked at the door. Let me in. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Or whatever he would have said, you know. How do they say it in Russia? Hare Krishna, Prabhu. He said, I was here 2 weeks ago. He said, what did you put in my food? I just can't enjoy in this material world. I just don't know what's wrong with me. You've put something in the food. And they said, ah, yes, we have put something in the food. I knew it. I'm going to go to the newspaper, the police, I'm going to get you all. And they said, yes, we have put in L&D. LSD, I knew it! No, not LSD, Prabhu, L&D. Love and devotion. We've put love and devotion into the food. We've offered it to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And then this person, he came inside. And actually, to cut a long story short, this person became a devotee from receiving some burnt chili halava. So when the next time you see prasadam, you think this doesn't look very palatable, you should think this is the Lord's mercy. This is non-different from Krishna. Not it doesn't taste very nice, or they've not put enough salt in the sabji. This is the Lord's mercy. It's none different from Krishna. Anyway, I had some other stories to tell, but we won't. Just one quick one with the book distribution. Is that okay? I'm not going to carry on if you're all eager to go and have some burnt chili halwa. I'll just... Now, the potency of book distribution. Srila Prabhupada's books, they're non-different from Krishna. There was one... Now, when we go out on book distribution, we say different things sometimes to get people to take the books. On yoga, meditation, it's teaching the art of inner happiness. But then there was one devotee, and he would just march up to people, and he would just quote a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. That was his method of book distribution. Sava dhamman paricha ja, mamme kam sharanam vaja, aham tam sava papibyo maksha yishami masya chaha. And you can imagine, if you do that all day long, you probably won't sell so many books. It's a very pure method of book distribution, undoubtedly. And it may not work on everyone, but it did work on one devotee. Now, this devotee went out and he quoted this verse, Sava dhamman paricha ja. And this devotee, he wasn't a devotee, he was a member of the public. He just fainted, collapsed on the pavement, got himself together again, bought the Bhagavad Gita, ran home, packed all his stuff and came back and joined the temple. And that was Rameshwar Prabhu. Devamrita Swami tells the story. Srila Prabhupada needed a manager for his BBT and Rameshwar Prabhu. He went on to become one of the, you know, powerful leaders within ISKCON. He just heard one sloka, you know, heard Srila Prabhupada's books, and immediately he became a devotee. Another time, one lady, she was looking out of her apartment building, and she saw that her next door neighbors, they had their window propped open all the time by some book. And every day she used to look, what is this? What is it that's, you know, propping open that window? And every day she was just becoming more and more attractive. What is that? So after some months, she went round. Excuse me, I just live opposite you, and I've just noticed, you know, you've got this book propping open your window. She said, I've brought you another book, and I just wondered, can I swap this book? You can prop open your window with this book, and can I have that book? And they said, yeah, sure. You know, they didn't, you know, it was just doing its job holding the window open. And she got that book home. It was a Krishna book. She read the Krishna book, then she went and joined the temple and became a devotee. Somehow or another, it was just attracting her. Because it's none different from Krishna. Krishna's all attractive. Anyway, we won't go on about the holy name. We've all got experience how the holy name is non-different from Krishna. I'm sure we've got our own different examples. But anyway, like this, if we spread these three things, transcendental book distribution, prasadam distribution, holy name distribution, then we can dissipate the darkness of ignorance. And my last point, just to conclude... I know you're all getting hungry now. One point I just thought of is that we should try and not only become a moon ourselves, but we should try and encourage others to become moons. We should try and empower people to become moons. Sometimes if we see others advancing in Krishna consciousness, we may even become a little bit envious. Someone joins a temple after us and we think and they make so much advancement and then they're miles ahead of us and they're getting so much praise, glorification, they're doing so much wonderful service and we think, well, you know, what is he having in his prasadam that I'm not getting, you know? And we may even become a little bit envious. And I remember that, so we shouldn't stifle devotees, we should encourage them. I remember one devotee who was under my care for some time, and he would come up with all these wacky ideas, what I thought were wacky ideas to spread Krishna consciousness. And he would say, Prabhu, I thought we should do this, this, and this. And I would say, Prabhu, it's a completely crazy idea, you know, like pie in the sky, and that's never going to happen, you know. And after I've thought, I'm just completely stifling this man's enthusiasm. I thought, that wasn't Srila Prabhupada's mood. I thought, I'm just a demon, you know, I'm probably just envious. And I thought, and so when he started coming up to me with these ideas, I started saying to him, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you try it? Try it, you know. So I was thinking along these lines that Srila Prabhupada, he would encourage devotees. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he said to Srila Prabhupada, I want to go to London to meet the Beatles. We're all sitting here because of this, you know, crazy idea. Now, could you imagine if you said to your temple president today, a brand new devotee says, Prabhupada, my dear temple president, I want to go to the other side of the world to meet, I don't know who's famous now, when you join ISKCON, you kind of join a time warp, you know, so you don't know who's who anymore, you know. I don't know. Anyway, you get the idea. You said, I want to go and meet this famous person and make him a devotee. Because his idea was that, you know, whatever actions a great man performs, common people follow. So if we make the Beatles Krishna conscious, the whole world will become Krishna conscious. The Beatles were massive. At one point, John Lennon said, we are bigger than Jesus. That's what he said. So Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? That's a ridiculous idea. How are you ever going to meet the Beatles? How are you going to make them Krishna conscious? Just stay here and, you know, do some service in the temple. Go out on Harinam in, you know, San Francisco. No, Prabhupada, first he said to Mukunda, he took the idea seriously. He said to Mukunda, now Mukunda Maharaj, he said, Mukunda Prabhu, what do you think of Shyam Sundar's idea to meet the Beatles? And Mukunda said, yeah, well, you know, why not? You know, and Prabhupada said, yes, go to London and make the Beatles Krishna conscious. He said, Krishna will help you. Krishna will help you. Srila Prabhupada would always encourage the devotees. He empowered us to become moons. Yes, do that. Krishna will help. He fostered the mood of dependence upon Krishna. One time the devotees, book distributors, they wanted to go to different temples and they wanted to teach different techniques for book distribution. So they said to Srila Prabhupada, is this a good idea? We can teach the devotees techniques of book distribution. Srila Prabhupada said, he said, it is okay. He said, but it is a little artificial. He said, best thing is that you teach them to become sincere. And then, he said, and then the supreme teacher will teach them. Krishna's within the heart. If we become sincere, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam piti purvakam. Krishna gives us the intelligence. So he would say, yes, do it. Krishna will help you. So the devotees learned how to depend upon Krishna. And sure enough, Krishna did help them. We're all sitting here today because Srila Prabhupada, he fanned that spark within the heart. He said, yes, go meet the Beatles. Make them Krishna conscious. He was always encouraging. One last thing I just want to say now. This is it now. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was encouraging. Again with Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He said to Srila Prabhupada, one time he became arrested and he was convicted. And this is just to show how Srila Prabhupada was always so positive. He was always encouraging because he wanted us to become moons. And Shyam Sundar was so like scared and fearful of approaching Srila Prabhupada to tell him that he was going to have to go to prison for some time. He said, Swamiji, I feel so sorry to tell you. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to be sent to prison. I'm going to be sent to jail. And Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna was born in jail. It is not such a big thing. Krishna was born in jail. And then Srila Prabhupada said, and what is it for? Why do you have to go to jail? And he said, Swamiji, I was dealing drugs. This was before I was a devotee. And Prabhupada said, I too was a drug dealer. Because he was a pharmacist beforehand. So Prabhupada said meant he was dealing pharmaceutical drugs. I too was a drug dealer. So just by saying that, Shyam Sundar felt the weight of the world lifted off his shoulders and he felt so encouraged. You know, Prabhupada could have said, this is nonsense. You're a devotee. You know, of course it was before he was a devotee, but Prabhupada knew exactly the right thing to say to encourage his devotees. He wanted us all to become moons. So we should in this way not only become moons, but we should empower everyone else to become moons. And in this way, we can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, dissipate the darkness in everyone's hearts. And in this way, bring everyone back home, back to Godhead, where all talking is singing, all walking is dancing, and there's a festival every day. Srila Prabhupada ki! Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki! Nitai Gaura Premanande!